Hey there, everybody. Welcome in. It's time for Three Guys Before the Game, the pre-Baylor edition. Thank you so much for being with us in studio with the beloved Hoppy Kirchival and the Senator Brad Howe. And here we go.
You're beloved, man.
That's not by many.
I'll
tell you that.
Maybe
immediate family and not all those.
Now people like you. People do like
you. By the way, before we start, you look very nice
very
today.
Very nice today. Very sharp.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I'm wearing this blazer because it's cold in the studio. I told you last time I wore a blazer, it's cold.
But the tie. I don't know that you've gone full tie jacket for Three Guys. I know this is a big week. Huge game for the Mountaineer. I know it's very, very big. I was surprised to see the full look today.
Trying to keep all my warmth in. I mean, even the collar. I just don't want anything. You know.
He's going blue on blue.
Yeah, blue on blue is what I'm going there. This is big.
It's huge.
So here's the deal on this game, folks. This is the Baylor edition of the show. Here's the deal on the game. This is going to catch you. This game is going to catch you by surprise because it's a Thursday. You're not going to give enough attention to this game. I'm just telling you. People are not going to give enough attention to this game.
What?
I'm just letting. No, they're not. They're not. It's just going to happen because it's just going to happen. I'm just telling you.
Oh, disagree.
I know. I got the feel. This game is just going to happen. Senator, agree or disagree?
Hoppy, I kind of agree with him.
Thank you.
I kind of agree with him because for this reason, if nothing else, we're just 2 days away now.
Exactly.
As we sit here and we're taping this, it's just 2 days away. Are you at a proper point for your prep that you normally are on a week? If this was a Saturday game, would you be at your normal spot?
Well, I'm
a little bit behind, aren't you?
You're
a little bit behind.
This is Tuesday of game week. If
you
were to
take. That's what he's saying. You're a little bit behind. That's okay. I'm not saying you can't catch up. I'm just saying right now you're a little bit behind because it comes on a weird.
Wait a minute.
All of a sudden,
the game,
Thursday.
You got 12 days. But I mean, after the Iowa State game, I mean, there was such a hangover from that. But I mean,
that's one of the reasons.
If you're a fan or a coach or whatever, don't you want to move on? I mean, and anxious to talk about the next game. So I don't think it's going to catch you by surprise.
You're thinking more from a fan perspective than a team perspective, aren't you? Or are you talking team as well?
I mean, if you're a fan,
I certainly hope I'm not talking about the team, but I'm talking about the fans. Here's the deal, Hopmeister. Here's the deal. It's a Thursday game. The weather's changed. It's no longer really nice outside. Political season's on. Every time you turn around, you're not hearing about football anymore. You're hearing about politics. You're hearing about the baseball playoffs. There's so much that's going on. School's into the midpoint. Everything's going. This game will slip up like a burglar in the night. I'm just telling you, it
Tony,
is.
You listen.
No, I know.
It's well documented. You're not feeling well. That you have a cold and you're struggling with a little bit. So you don't feel like you're ready.
I know the fan base, and I sense. I know the fan base.
I know you.
And I sense that this is just kind of, I think they've gone into show me mode rather than anticipation mode. I don't think this is, hey, I'm excited. I'm fired up for the Baylor game like you had in preceding games. I think this is, I'm going to reserve my fandom card until you go onto that field and show me that you can lay wood and smack them. That's why I think there's more of a reserved approach to this game than past games. Senator, agree or disagree?
Okay. I shockingly, this is two things in a row I agree with you.
Thank you.
Well, that never happens.
Let me partially agree with you in this. I think that the Iowa State game and some of the game action before that has been so stunning concerning this offense that fans will be in anticipation. In other words, you come out and you score a couple quick touchdowns, people get back in. But if you come out and you don't do anything in the first quarter, I mean, the grumbling, there's going to be an audible grumble that you'll be able to hear.
Gnashing of teeth.
Grumbling and gnashing of teeth. So I do agree with you that the fan base is teetering, and what happens early on will have a big impact on how those fans respond.
Yeah,
I agree with you in this. This is a very weird episode. I haven't disagreed with anybody yet. Fast start's important here. I mean, winning the game, obviously you got to win the game. But I'm with him. I think if you start slowly, that stadium atmosphere is going to get a little tight on you.
Oh, I agree with you. Totally agree. Going back in and starting to get ready for this game, what I do is I go back and I take a look at every player and I look at what they did in the last game. Now, the last game would be the Iowa State game. And when I looked at some of the individual performances and some of the numbers, that the kids put up, I'm going like, golly, was what? Huh? He caught one. He caught one. He caught two for 22. He carried it this for that, and going like, but then you look at the numbers, and go, yeah, that's what it is, because the total offense was insignificant. So, I think it is of massive importance for a couple of different reasons. As you said, to get the fans back up and going, okay, it was a one game aberration. And I think for the players too.
I agree.
I think there's scar tissue. I think there is scar tissue in the psyche of the Mountaineer players, whether they want to know it or not. And that if things go crappy again early in this game, then they're going to go, whoa. But if they can pop through the scar tissue in the beginning, then I think they're off and rolling.
Guys, how could there not be scar tissue? Not just from a fan perspective. How could there not? How could you be one of these offensive players and come into this game against Baylor with the same level of confidence you had entering the Kansas game? You can't. You need to have some results. And that game was so bad against Iowa State. I think I'm about 5 or 6 times watching it, which I'm a glutton for punishment, I realize. It's worse every time you look at it. There was nothing that went well offensively. There's nothing you can look at and say, all right, they were close right there. It was horrific and awful and terrible in every way. So this group, what have they done in this off week to get that back on track? And I think you're back to that fast start has to happen from a confidence standpoint to get these guys saying, okay, we're back, we're fine, we got it.
And confidence is so important in you got to have skill, you got to have a good plan, but you got to have confidence too, because when your confidence gets shaken, man, it is tough to get back.
That's why this game and how West Virginia plays will determine the rest of the season.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
This will be the fulcrum for the remainder of the season. You know what fulcrum is, right? Now, that's the middle part of a teeter-totter. So, like, if it go up or it goes down, that's right? That's the fulcrum. So, if it goes okay, then I think you're going to be able to teeter. But I think if it doesn't go okay, then you're going to taw, if you know what I mean. I think this will leave this team going, like, who are we? What are we going into this grind session of the season? Well, at least we thought it was going to be the grind of November.
Yeah, I don't know that
it's a grind anymore. Now with the situation at TCU and Oklahoma State, it's not as grindy as we passed up. But here's another point that we haven't even mentioned yet. Here's another reason why West Virginia needs to be careful. Because Baylor's coming in, and you just mentioned what the mental approach is. Baylor feels really good about itself because they're coming off a very close loss at Texas in which they didn't allow the Longhorns to score in the second half. And if you listen and you read the quotes from the Baylor side of things, they're going like, we are like a rock that's starting to roll down a hill and we're gaining momentum and we feel really good about where we are. And now they're going to come into this thing. If you think they're going to lay down because it's Thursday and it's nighttime and it's West Virginia or anything like that, not going to happen.
Tony, again, we're all agreeing here. I agree with you. Matt Rhule's a good coach. I mean, in four years, he took Temple from being Temple to back-to-back 10-win seasons. There's a reason why he got that Baylor job. Last year, they won one game, and you can watch him now and say, boy, he's turning this thing around. And you're right. They held Texas scoreless in the second half. They think they got it headed in the right direction. They're still looking for that first seminal win. And boy, nothing would be more of a seminal win than to go on the road and beat a top 15 team.
I tend to feel the same way you do. I tend to say you look at Baylor and, yeah, don't take anything for granted. Matt Rhule's a good coach. You're right. But they've beaten Abilene Christian, UTSA, lost to Duke, beat Kansas, got housed by Oklahoma, beat a terrible Kansas State team barely, and couldn't beat a Texas team playing with its backup quarterback that was totally inept offensively. So this also isn't a preseason Big 12 favorite Baylor team. This is a team you go in and beat. You know who else doesn't agree with you, Tony?
Las Vegas.
14, 13 and a half, 14. This is one of those lines. You get a couple of them a year where it comes out and you're like, huh?
Yeah.
How could West Virginia be favored by 2 touchdowns here? Because the general feeling would be West Virginia's struggling. It's got to recapture something, but you're not sure yet. And what you just said about Baylor, I tend to side with you on that, but that's not what this line looks like. But, is this a game where West Virginia just comes out and rolls?
Yeah, I thought, and I'll defer to Vegas, but when the line came out, I was kind of stunned. I thought 13.5, 14, that seems high to me. But then you look at, and also you look at the stats, and the stats of these two teams are actually pretty similar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Scoring offense, WVU 37 points a game, Baylor 33. Scoring defense, West Virginia 28 points, Baylor 31. Passing offense, you would think, oh, Will Grier, he's got a big lead here. No, passing offense, Will Grier is 11th in the country at 320. Charlie Brewer's 12th at 313. So a lot of these statistics are very close.
Some of that's schedule related, though, too, I think. I mean, given what I just told you, what they put up, 92 points combined against Abilene Christian and UTSA.
Well, okay, West Virginia put up a lot of big points against some bad teams, too. Mm-hmm,
they did. They did. Okay, I still trust Will Grier more.
Do you trust Las Vegas more?
Yes.
So you're saying...
I think that might influence me. I might take West Virginia by 17 in this game, which I had no plans of doing that before I saw the line. I had zero plans of saying that.
West Virginia has failed to cover the last two games. So you're gonna break the trend now, because two's not exactly a trend, but you're gonna go against the trend.
Maybe.
and you're gonna go West Virginia to cover.
Maybe.
At 14 points.
Maybe. It's against every fiber in my body. Right. Everything it's saying to me this week, it's gonna be close. I don't trust West Virginia till I see this offense go again. But I'm starting to go I think I might go the other way.
Why?
Why what?
Why are you going that way?
Because that line's goofy.
All right.
That line's goofy.
You know, every week you come on, you always say, you know, I talk to someone, or I talk to the, you're a big, big talker guy. Like I talk, have you talked to people yet?
Efforting.
Here's
something. Because it's that weird Thursday game. I'm not all the way with, I haven't hit all my sources
yet. That's why it's going to catch people by surprise. All of a sudden,
I tend to agree with you there.
Game's going to happen, and people aren't going to know that. Whoa, it's game time. Whoa, ball's in the air. So I talked to Dana today about what looks they'll get. He said they're going to get every single kind of a look from Baylor's defense. They'll play four down. They'll play three. They're doing a lot of the, they're starting to do some of this stuff, linebackers behind linebackers. But if you listen to him, he indicated that the box will be tighter to run against, and there's probably a better chance for West Virginia to get good opportunities in pass game. So
take it.
Yeah.
That's what this team should want.
Right, exactly. So that will be happening. But he did agree as well. He thinks that Matt Rhule is doing an exceptional job. He said when you put the tape on of where they were a year ago and the tape now, you can see that the level of complexity of their defense is increasing because they and the kids are learning more and more and more. And Rhule's comment is, and this is a paraphrase, that he said, we're getting really, really close to being really good defensively. And then when we do, people aren't going to like us because we're really physical. Gauntlet.
I mean, that's
gauntlet.
That's,
lay down the gauntlet.
That's also what Texas said about Baylor in that game. That Baylor was, because you used to think of Baylor as a finesse team, but that Baylor was very physical in that ball game with Texas.
They were, but again, they had Shane Buechele at quarterback for Texas most of that game, and Baylor just brought everybody up. There was no fear of Shane Buechele throwing by you, so that helped that strategy a little bit. I think this to me is, it's more about West Virginia than it is Baylor. Can West Virginia block and keep that when they get a four-man front? Can they keep them off of Will Grier a little bit? Start there, and nothing else matters. Until that happens. And then once that happens, what are the receivers doing? Are they going to continue to drift downfield and just drift away?
Did you feel they ran too far in their routes last game?
I thought there was a bunch of cases where those receivers were 55 yards downfield and Greer's running around looking for somebody to throw to. So are those routes adjusted? Can somebody find Javonte Haskins and catch a pass? Is Javonte Haskins eligible to catch passes?
Oh, yeah.
He is?
Yeah, he's
well,
eligible.
Maybe he can reappear this game and they work him into the passing game. Can they get a back out on the edge? I mean, there's some things you can do here, even if that four-man front's getting pressure. But to me, this is more about what West Virginia does to fix itself rather than what Baylor's going to do to it. Agree or disagree? I disagree.
Agree, and I think a huge game for West Virginia's offensive line.
Big.
If Baylor comes in here and slaps West Virginia's offensive line around, pushes them backward, a lot of TFLs, a lot of sacks, you got some real, real big-time issues. You got some real big-time issues.
And then West Virginia's line's going to have to play because those guys moved the Texas offensive line a bunch. They were under pressure in the middle there.
Yeah, if West Virginia's offensive line has got any kind of intestinal fortitude after the way that it played against Iowa State, they would come out here and this would be a statement game. There would be just great, tenacious blocking up front. That's what you would get. If you don't get that and they don't respond to what happened at Iowa State, then you got an issue.
Could use Letty Brown back in the backfield,
too. He's healthy. All four.
To pick up, because you talked about, I know Dana talked about everybody's got a block. It's not just the five guys up front. You brought Wesco back to help a little bit. You could use some help out of the running back position, too. If you're going to leave a Letty Brown in there, big body, put a body on some of these guys if they bust through, that would help as well.
Or can you run the football? West Virginia, 96th in the country in rush offense, 143 yards a game, ninth in the league.
Not good, offense. Man. Not good. Goes
especially when you consider the, what we think are pretty good quality running backs. I mean, four guys that can play.
Everyone's healthy, by the way. Everyone's healthy. Just ask them. All the backs are good. Dylan Tonkery's good. Everyone else.
That helps.
And getting closer to the long-term guys, the Quandarius Qualls.
Ferns.
Probably the Jake Longs. All those guys that have been long-term injuries, getting closer to those guys.
Pitts. Derek Pitts.
Didn't bring his name up.
I mean, because defensively, I know we spend more time on offense because that's what looked the most broken the other night. But defensively, this is another challenge. All the things we said about Brock Purdy, I think, are applicable here with Charlie Brewer, except Brewer's got more experience. So Brewer's difficulty is when he gets outside or you do get pressure on him, that he takes off and has an ability to run.
He has the ability
to run.
That's
going to be a challenge.
And they got a couple good receivers. Mims, 15. He's very good.
And
Jalen Hurd, the Tennessee transfer.
Former Tennessee running back who's turned himself into a receiver. He'll also go over and carry it a little bit. Yeah, they got receivers. They've always had receivers ever since West Virginia came into the league.
You know, guys, this is also about – this is a big coaching game. Because West Virginia, I think by their own admission, they got out-coached against Iowa State. Iowa State had a great scheme. West Virginia offensively never did figure out Iowa State defensively. Iowa State threw some different things at them. And so now you've had 12 days. And Matt Rhule has been able to look at that tape too, and they've been able to try to come up with some stuff. So West Virginia, I think the huge challenge here, one, is just strategically, can the West Virginia coaches come up with a better plan than Baylor has, number one? Number two, can they make adjustments during the game that they need to? And number three, can they get this team ready to play and be confident? This is a huge coaching game. And I think the West Virginia fans, Mountaineer Nation, is going to make a lot of they're watching this. You know, they want to see if you're worth your money. They want to see if the coaches, can get this thing done. I think the coaches are on the line this game.
Yeah, I think so. I think that if you get what you want out of this game, and if Brad and the boys in the desert are right, and you win by a comfortable score, and you win by double figures, everyone kind of goes, okay, we had a bad night in Ames, but everything's back up and it's in order. If it doesn't happen that way, then the panic sets in. We talked about panic on the last show.
Your panic button is on loan to Ohio State, right?
Right.
It was an off week, so Ohio State took your panic button. They wore it out. Yeah. You're going to get it back, get it repaired. If you lose this game, it's in full force again. And then the season's in jeopardy for West Virginia if you lose this game. If you don't,
what do you think happens?
And you're facing a top six or seven Texas team, and you fix it a little bit this week, and it looks better, that's one hell of a game coming up against Texas next week, and it's a heck of a national spotlight again, so it's right in front of you if you can correct the things this week.
That's one of the things you get with the Big 12, and it's good to have Texas back, frankly, because you got chances to get it back because of the quality of the opponent.
And they announced that the Texas game is going to be a seven-day window. Normally, we would know today what time the game was going to be. They've exercised the 7-day window, so we'll know now Saturday night, Sunday of this coming week, when West Virginia will play. And it could be anywhere from 3:30 our time to 7:15 to 7:30 our time. So it's not going to be a noon, and it'll be mid-afternoon or it'll be a night game.
Think of the national stage that sets up if West Virginia wins this. Right. If you win this and you creep up a spot or two and you're sitting in that 10 or 11 spot against a top 10 Texas team on a night game on next Saturday. I mean, so you can't get to that point and have that be a big day unless you win on Thursday. So I'm back to what you started this with. This is a critical, gigantic game for West Virginia on Thursday.
All agreed. You think the game will slip up on people? I think it'll just slip up on them. I think people, again, Hobby, I do. I think that people are intrigued and interesting, but now they're reserved and waiting. Show me mode.
We're arguing over a spot. I think we agree on that. I think the whole thing about whether the game sneaks up on you. I mean, whatever. That's fine.
Hey, before we go away, by the way, it's going to be.
I think those are two different things.
It's going to be a busy week in the Big 12.
Disgust. I'm done. Hurtful skin. I'm done.
TCU will be coming up on the schedule for West Virginia. They got some situations there, right? Kevontae Turpin, their talented return man, with an arrest over the weekend, and they've lost their quarterback for the rest of the season with shoulder surgery, so they're going to shut him down. Their profile has changed dramatically. Also, they play at Kansas this weekend. Texas Tech at Iowa State this weekend.
That's going to be
an interesting game. Kansas State at Oklahoma, probably not an interesting game. And then Texas at Oklahoma State. If Oklahoma State has got any pulse whatsoever, you'd think they're going to lay it out here against, I'm not saying a win, I'm just saying if they got a pulse, they got to be competitive in this game. Plus, whether Bouchel plays.
There you go. Yeah.
That's going to be, is it Bouchel? Is it not Bouchel? What's going to happen there? And that'll be the weekend. So the big news, we switch over here real quick. Over the weekend, Kercheval suddenly became just a huge fan of basketball recruiting. And he got his wish. He got him some Oscar, huh?
Oscar Shoeboy.
Senator, Hoppy asked me on his public affairs show that he does, if this is Huggs' biggest recruit since he's been at West Virginia. What do you say?
Second biggest. Ebanks was the biggest in terms of number of recruit.
Right.
Shoeboy is right up there. Ebanks is one, and given what Ebanks was able to help that West Virginia team achieve, that he sits in the number one spot. But you're right behind here with Oscar Shoeboy. This could be a real difference maker if he continues to progress.
So I'm going to say this. Ebanks was a bounce recruit. You remember there was a situation at Indiana.
Correct.
And what's the guy? The guy's at Houston now.
Kelvin Sampson.
Kelvin Sampson got in trouble. Mm-hmm. So we caught him on a rebound.
Yes.
This is the most organic. This is the best organic recruit that West Virginia has had since Huggs has been here.
I'll buy that. That's fair.
Best organic is like homegrown, grassroots. Got him from the beginning. This is the best one.
I thought, Tony, I ask you on my public affairs show, is that because I read the quote by Shoeboy, he says, well, you know, Huggs is like family, like a father figure, and he's going to love you up. And as I said, you know, Huggins is, he's old school. So, you know, it's tough love. It's tough love. And not everybody responds to that. I mean, we've seen that over the years. And when players do respond to it, he gets a very tough, very competitive ball club that's a Sweet 16 caliber ball club. Some guys don't, right? And then they don't play. They become disenchanted. They leave the program. I mean, you're going to go one way or another with Bob Huggins.
Well,
if you stayed there for a couple of years. And you said, don't worry about that. Shoeboy will be fine.
Oh, yeah. He's seen every single aspect of it. I mean, he's seen everything.
But has he been the target of it?
It is a little different when you're the target.
Yeah. No, he hasn't. But Sags has, and Sags was the biggest proponent for West Virginia for him to come here. So I'm sure Sags didn't say, hey, guess what? It's all rainbows and ice cream. I'm saying, you know, he'd probably say, you know, he'll crush you and wear you out and make you better. I think that's probably what it is.
You know, this was a big get for the obvious reasons. A kid of this talent and this stature you wanted to get. But this was as big a get because it wasn't a loss, if you know what I mean. I don't know that West Virginia has had this kind of connection to a kid rated this highly, maybe ever, never mind under Bob Huggins. So this was a must get for West Virginia. So it was good for this program to close the deal. And they've got some guys now. If you follow those recruiting rankings, which sometimes those can get a little goofy, they've got some guys on this roster now that are building up a nice little national recruiting number.
Culver, McCabe, mm-hmm. Matthews, right?
Dooms.
Yeah. Those are all, you know, right? Those guys are. But also, I saw they had a list of all of Huggs's, you know, highly acclaimed kids. There's a couple names that I looked at and go, are you freaking kidding me? He was what? He was ranked what?
A couple of those.
Seriously?
Those recruiting rankings didn't hold 100%?
They don't, but you're better off starting with a high ranking. You're better off. Yeah, you'd rather take those.
You'd rather take the five-star, and if the five-star doesn't play up to a five-star, you say, okay, we missed on one.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to take the one-star and say, well, we hope we can build him into a five.
Exactly.
Take the five and worry about everything else later.
Exactly. All right, so gut feeling, Hoppy. Baylor, West Virginia, as we go away here. Yay, nay.
Yay, nay. Boy, I don't have a feel for it yet because this game is sneaking up on me.
See, I knew it. As predicted.
When is the game? What
tomorrow.
Time?
It's Wednesday morning.
This
They're playing
it
Wednesday morning, 10:30 at the stadium. Be there or be square. All right, we're out. Follow us on your favorite podcast location, whether that be iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, WVMetroNews.com. We're out back again whenever you hear us. Thanks for being with us. Three guys before the game.